This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the latest updates to the Wisconsin-based Dictionary of American Regional English are just out. We'll talk to the chief editor about some of the quirky, colorful regional sayings it looks at. Right now, we're going to check in on the latest news in national politics. Democratic presidential contender Senator Bernie Sanders endorsed his rival Hillary Clinton after a long campaign, but he says it looks like he's still in the race. Rumors are swirling about a potential running mate for presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump. And speaking of Trump, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, had some choice comments for the candidate in an interview with the New York Times. Joining us with the latest is Paul Singer, Washington correspondent for USA Today. Paul, welcome back.
How are you, Rob?
I'm doing good. Well, let's look at this big news. Bernie Sanders, people have been waiting for this for a while, endorsing Hillary Clinton. I want to give a little listen to him speaking in New Hampshire.
She will be the Democratic nominee for president. And I intend to do everything I can to make certain she will be the next president of the United States.
Paul, let's start with the timing here. People have been wondering if he'd do this for the last, few weeks, month or so, or if he'd ever do it. Why now?
Well, I think now is partly because he has sat down, his folks have sat down with Hillary Clinton's folks and have talked out some of the issues. The Clinton's team has given way on some key issues in the platform. The Democratic platform that is now emerging will embrace Bernie Sanders' call for $15 minimum wage. It will embrace their call for free college tuition. It will embrace some of their health care expansions. So part of what Sanders has been saying for weeks is, it's not about me, it's about the ideas. Now that the ideas are being incorporated in a Democratic platform, there's plenty of reason for him in exchange to turn around and say, okay, then I'll endorse you.
And we've heard from Bernie Sanders supporters, our callers here on this show who support Bernie Sanders, say, in effect, never Clinton. They would not vote for her. Do you think that a Bernie Sanders endorsement will get some of those people to get on board with voting for Hillary Clinton?
Yes. Yes. I think that the voters who are calling you and saying, I'll never vote for Hillary Clinton, I'm a Sanders person to the end, are a minority. I don't argue that there are none of them, but I believe they're a minority of the Bernie Sanders group. And I say that because I think Bernie Sanders is a fairly good barometer of his own movement, and he recognizes that for his movement's agenda, Hillary Clinton is a more likely to implement the things they care about than Donald Trump is. Now, it is possible that some of the Bernie Sanders backers may want to go to a third-party candidate like either Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, or Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate. But I think you will find a significant chunk of them are going to be Hillary Clinton supporters. The question, of course, is how many. But I would not be at all surprised if it's a majority of them.
A lot of times, Paul, if I'm a candidate, I'm endorsing my opponent. The next thing that happens is I suspend my campaign and officially drop out of the race. According to reporting, that doesn't seem to be, that other shoe has not dropped yet. He's still a candidate.
Yeah, I don't make much of that, honestly. It's sort of a, at the moment, the difference without much distinction. It doesn't mean much. The fact of the matter is he's endorsed her. He plans to travel the country holding events for her and with her. He, I suspect, will be giving a speech at the convention very similar to the one he gave the other day, talking about how Hillary Clinton is the best choice. If he's not suspending his campaign just yet for any official reasons, he hasn't actually campaigned in any meaningful way for weeks. So I'm not sure what that all means. I just don't think it's all that relevant.
Well, let's turn to the Republican side of things there. A lot of the talk over the last few days about who Donald Trump's running mate would be. People have called the likely list that people are seeing kind of a B list. You had 17, 18, whatever presidential candidates, most of them, except for Chris Christie, not on what appears to be the rumored short list. Governor Mike Pence in Indiana being floated as a likely name. Some Trump people out there talking to him. Trump himself, I think, headed out there. So tell us about Governor Mike Pence as maybe a running mate for Donald Trump.
Well, you know, Pence is an interesting choice. He once upon a time was an outsider himself in the Republican Party, leader of a very conservative faction in the House. Has since left the House of Representatives, gone on to be governor in Indiana. He knows an awful lot about government, which is assumed to be one of the areas where Donald Trump needs help and is looking for help. He's looking to bring on somebody who knows more about the sort of levers of power in Washington than he knows. You know, Pence does come with a little bit of a baggage of his own. He last year, I guess it was last year, got into a big dust-up in the state over this so-called Religious Freedom Act, RFRA. The issue there was whether, if I remember the details correctly, whether a baker could deny baking a cake for a gay marriage because the baker was opposed to gay marriage. The Pence signed a law that would allow people to refuse to serve somebody that violated their conscience, and then after an enormous amount of national pressure, signed some sort of amendment that would essentially defang that law, thereby alienating people in both camps. So Pence has some of his own legal problems, political problems, to carry into a race like this. But he is also, I think, very well respected amongst conservatives and has a history in government, both things that Donald Trump would like to secure.
He's also running for re-election as governor right now in what people have described as, maybe a tight race, not a sure thing for him. And as I understand the finer points of Indiana law, i.e. not much, but I've read that he would have to pick. He couldn't run for governor and vice president. So that's got to factor into his decision-making.
Right, and I think the deadline is in 3 days, so to get him off the ballot. So he'd have to make a decision. The Republicans have to pick somebody to replace him on the ballot. It's a very convoluted dance, as any of these are. But again, we've also heard that there are, you know, Chris Christie is apparently still in the running, right, and going to visit with the family. And we even heard rumors that the Trump campaign even recently was reaching out to others like Condoleezza Rice. So who knows where we are at the moment. I am watching Twitter, waiting at any moment for a puff of white smoke.
Before we move on from this, you mentioned Chris Christie, Newt Gingrich also being talked about. In both people who I think the words brash and outspoken could apply to, as they do
so,
to Donald Trump. Do you want to double down, I guess, if you're a candidate like Donald Trump, but not have that calm voice of reason to balance the ticket?
You know, it's a very interesting question. Frequently, the vice presidential candidate is the attack dog during the campaign, right? The presidential candidate stands above the fray, and the vice presidential candidate gets out there in the dirt and throws names around. Well, Trump seems to have that part
covered.
He's got
covered. It covered, yeah.
Yeah, so that is the question of whether he wants somebody with a balancing personality. But it's also a question of who you feel comfortable standing next to. And to some degree, I think, you know, the street brawlers might feel comfortable standing next to each other because they don't have to watch their manners around each other. Maybe that's something that Trump likes to be on a ticket with someone like that.
Looking at the latest in national politics with Paul Singer from USA Today, you just used the phrase Paul Singer standing above the fray, which is a lot of times what we expect Supreme Court justices to do when it comes to politics, especially election politics. Well, here we have Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg talking to the New York Times, saying a lot about Donald Trump, a faker, she called him. Hey, maybe, as my late husband says, she said, move to New Zealand if there's a President Trump. This is not the sort of thing we usually see from justices.
No, it is not. And it's a problem for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is at some point Ruth Bader Ginsburg may have to sit on the court with a Trump appointee. She may have to rule on issues that were raised by President Trump and his Solicitor General. It tends to suggest some bias. The funny thing is that some of the responses to this have been, well, it's okay if she has bias, she should just shut up about it, which I don't really think is the right answer either. I mean, this is one of the reasons I don't vote, is because I don't want to choose sides and then pretend I didn't choose sides. And people say, well, it'd be okay if you just keep it all secret. Well, we don't want Supreme Court justices having favoritisms and then keeping them secret either. So this is kind of weird. You know, the fact of the matter is that I would wish she didn't have strong opinions about the presidential candidates and could judge fairly any issue they bring up.
Yeah, we've seen major newspaper editorials saying she shouldn't have done this, she shouldn't do that, Supreme Court justices shouldn't do that, so Supreme Court justices should be seen and not heard in these presidential maybe not even seen either in presidential campaigns.
And part of the issue, keep in mind, is that people are supposed to be able to look to the court as the neutral arbiter. Of course, I realize that quaint, since Bush v. Gore, people on both sides have seen the Supreme Court as a very political body. But it's still, we like to maintain at least the fiction that to some degree they float above politics and are simply judging the merits of the issues, and they look only to the Constitution, not the polls. Maybe today we learned that, yes, Virginia, there is in fact not a Santa Claus.
Well, is this Supreme Court judge justice issue going to be something you think, Paul, that people vote on? Not so much Ginsburg's comments themselves now, but, this the mysterious ninth justice, as elusive as the fifth Beatle right now, and other justices likely to retire. Who's going to appoint them? Do people vote on that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's one of the first things you hear out of the mouths of particularly Hillary Clinton supporters is that, there's an opportunity to appoint justices for the next 30 years and change the face of American jurisprudence, shifting from a conservative majority on the court to a liberal majority on the court. It is a huge factor, I think, for voters. And by the same token, for Republican voters, the fear that Hillary Clinton would be able to nominate particularly pro-choice justices is a real motivating factor. It's one of those issues we hear regularly from voters that the ability to appoint Supreme Court justices is a critical issue in a presidential campaign. Now, whether or not that Supreme Court justice says something goofy on to the New York Times, I don't think is the issue.
And briefly, Paul, I mean, is it the justices' fault that they've been politicized when there's such an issue in the political race, when there's so much at stake politically in what they do? Is it? It's the whole the system is the to blame here in a way.
It is true. I mean, what has happened is America has become more and more divided, and therefore has looked to the court to represent our divisions. There has been, I think, a growing expectation in America that when somebody disagrees with us, it is not because they have another interpretation of the facts. It's because they are hallucinating or have the wrong facts or are just flat out biased against us. And that is what is happening, I think, increasingly.
Paul, always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Be well.
That's Paul Singer, Washington correspondent for USA Today. He joined us to give us the latest in national politics. Coming up after the news, if you've never heard of a Beelzebub, wonder what it means to be a backwoodser, stick around. We'll hear about the Dictionary of American Regional English. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.